Amen. And you may be seated. Now, this is the time when we really believe God for redeeming the time. I just stepped off the platform and my daughter just smiled like, you have 20 minutes left. I'm like, okay. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn to Acts chapter 4. Maybe it's good we don't have that much time. Good training for me. I don't need to talk about all this. I have too many notes anyway right now. So you just believe God that whatever he wants me to say, I'll say, you know. Wherever he wants me to shut up, I'll just shut up. So if mid-sentence I just stop, you know why. For example, all right, Acts chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 18. These are the apostles, or at least some of the apostles, and they were severely threatened by the authorities not to preach the gospel anymore. They were not allowed to teach or preach in the name of Jesus, right? That's the name they're afraid of. They were not allowed to teach and preach in the name of Jesus, and they threatened them. And in Acts 4 and 18, it says, they called them, commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered, said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was manifested. Well, you know, there was this man that they healed. He was lame from birth. You know, it says here that he was lame more than 40 years. So there's not this medical explanation. Yeah, we don't know what happened. It was psychosomatic. You know, it was a psychosomatic thing, you know, and suddenly, you know, it worked. Nah, he was lame for 40 years, you know, so they couldn't say anything against that. But then in verse 23, and this is what I'm going for. It says, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So they were in a situation that all of us do not want to be in. You don't want the authorities, the people in authority in the city or even the nation. You don't want them to call you. You don't want to stand before them. You don't want to have like a panel of people looking at you, asking you about your faith, and then in the end, if you talk about this one more time, we're gonna, you know. And the implication was they could kill them. They have killed people already. They've killed Jesus for teaching, right? So, I mean, guess what's going to happen with all those people that are preaching in that name? So you don't want to be in that situation. And they didn't want to be in that situation either. And then it says that they came to their own company, you know, and then they prayed and the Holy Spirit filled them, you know, and they had boldness, praise the Lord. But it said it was important that they came to their own company. They had a place where they could share the things that are going on. And then they had a company that helped them, and together they were lifting up their eyes and they said, oh God, you're the creator, you are Lord, you are God, and you sent Jesus, and we just ask you to give us boldness, you know, to press through the situation, to overcome all the fear and to all these other things. Now, isn't this great that they had their own company that they can come to where they could do that? A lot of people, you know, especially in faith churches, you know, they always say, well, you know, I don't like this. You can't even be sick in a faith church, you know. And I had people come to me and said, I have the feeling in this church you can't show any sign of weakness. That was at a point in this church where every Sunday I was fighting my way up to the platform. I could hardly stand. I could hardly walk. I had part of the youth. I mean, I didn't ask them to, but they did. Sometimes they would meet me in front of the Stadthalle. They would carry my bag, and they would look at me like, are you sure you will make it to this room? I could hardly walk. I mean, I was standing here. I was sitting all the time. I could hardly stand. I was trying to somehow make my way up here and somehow stand, hoping not to fall, you know, all these kind of things. And in that situation, somebody comes to me and says, you know, it feels like to me you can't show weakness in this church. you know, pastors get these kind of things all the time. It's just, you stand there, you're like, I love you. You know? But, you know, it's in faith churches, you know, well, I never can show weakness, things can't go by. No, they came to their own company and they told them, they said, they threatened us, they want to kill us. And nobody said, oh, that's a bad confession. No, that was the truth. That was the truth. I mean, they just threatened them, they wanted to kill them. It's just what happened next is they came to a company that took that information and they brought it before the Lord and they acknowledged the Lord. They acknowledged that he is God, that he stands above all these things, and that he is the one that would give them the boldness and the power and the words to speak, you know. But they had their own company that helped them do that. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves, or the New American Standard Bible says, do not forsake your own assembly. You know, everyone, every Christian should have their own company, their own assembly that they can go to. And when these kind of things happen, that they have people around them that help them to take that situation and bring it to God and stand with you and pray with you. Everyone should have their own company, their own congregation, their own assembly, their own church. That's what assembly means. Church is a nice religious term. It just means the assembly. The believers in Jesus coming together. This is a local church. It's not the only one, but it is a local church. It's the church of Jesus Christ right here. That's what Rhema Bible Church is. And you know, the New Testament makes it very clear that it's very, very important for our own spiritual lives to have this church that we belong to have your own company that you go to, that you are a part of. And you do not forsake that. You do not miss that. You know, you want to be there. You want to listen. You want to fellowship. And, you know, you want to be a part of this church body. And the New Testament is very clear of that. And it's for your benefit. I mean, first and foremost, as always, it's about God and his desire to build the church, his desire to build the kingdom. But then, of course, you know, he said this will be for your benefit. This is something that's good for you. You will have people that stand with you, that help you. The Bible says they provoke you to love and good works. They help you to grow. It's wonderful. Church should be a wonderful thing. And if it's not, something's wrong. And it can be with the church and it can be with you. Or it can just be that because a church consists of people that are not perfect, that there are just the normal things that happen all the time when more than one person is in the room, that at one point there is some kind of friction, and that's a perfect opportunity to grow in love and to grow in forgiveness and to grow up into Christ in all things. That's the way he has set it up, and sometimes we don't like it, but it's good. So everybody needs a church of their own. I believe, because of this, I believe there is something that God wants to do through your local church that he will not do to you or in you anywhere else. I believe when God called somebody to be under a spiritual leadership, I believe when God called somebody to be part of a local church, there is something there that you will get only there. And so the title of my message is, Your Rhema is Here. Which is kind of a nice play on words, because we happen to be called Rhema Bible Church. But I call this Your Rhema is Here. See, the thing is, the New Testament has two Greek words for the Word of God. One of them is the word logos, and we know that, you know, from theology or biology, you know, it's the biology is the teaching, the word, the teaching of life. Theology is the teaching of God. And the word logos, you know, you use it for a teaching, for a thought, or for it's a very broad term. And it's used very often, you know, for the Word of God, very often for the written Word of God. It's the word logos. It's like in John 1:1 when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was the logos, right? It's a very comprehensive, exhaustive, broad term for the Word of God. And then there is this other term that we see in the Greek, and that's the word rhema. And the word rhema, it's kind of like it is used for the spoken word. It means something that is spoken or a speech. And all these words, you know, the Greek, depending on the context, it can mean something else too. Rhema can also mean thing. Isn't it interesting? You know, when the Bible says with God all things are possible, or with God nothing is impossible, in the Greek it says with God no rhema is impossible. So on the one hand, some translations say no thing is impossible, and some translations say no word that God has given you is impossible. You know, so depending on the context, and we all know that, it's all Greek to me. But the word rhema, it seems to be the more specific word. It seems to be the word that God is speaking to you right now. And we find that, for example, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse, verse 17. And you can turn there. I like to turn to Scripture. Sometimes I don't for time's sake, but I still have a little left. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the armor of God, and it talks about the full armor of God, right? It says you take the full armor of God, the whole armor of God, all right? We don't pick and choose. This is our favorite topic. We don't like this. We're not going to talk about this. No, we need all of these. But then it says, you know, eventually in verse 17, it says, take the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In our fight of faith that we are in a fight of faith. In this fight, our weapon is the Word of God. In the Greek here, it's the rhema of God. And we all, you know, acknowledge that. We all know that, for example, when it comes to healing. Right? I mean, we're all in a fight of faith, so are the kids' workers. And if your kid is in 0-2 and number 4, your kid is winning. This is how you raise strong children. You will get a reward if you win today in children's ministry. All right, but this is, you know, this is our weapon. Our weapon in this good fight that we're in, it's the sword of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit is the word, the rhema of God. So what do we mean by that? For example, when you take healing, you take the subject of healing. You need faith in that area. You want to walk by faith. You're fighting the fight of faith. So how do we strengthen our faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right, praise the Lord. So the Word of God. So you find Scripture. So you go to Matthew 27, verse 5, and it says, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed, and went and hanged himself. Well, that's the Word of God, right? Isn't that the Logos? I mean, isn't that the Word of God, right? It's right here. You can check it. It's Matthew 27, verse 5. Praise the Lord. I tell you right now, he cast down those pieces of silver. Ooh, and he departed from the place, and he found a tree, not a small one. No, he found a tree planted by the waters, and when he looked up, he saw a nice branch, a branch strong enough to carry the weight of his body. So he took that rope, and he hanged himself. The horrible part is some of you are thinking, can't you do that every Sunday? I could. Kind of depends on the offering. No, just kidding. I am kidding. For the record, I'm kidding. But see, we would not turn there if we are believing for healing. Why? Isn't this the Word of God? Hasn't God inspired this? Isn't that what he wrote down for us? Yes, it is. And we learn a valuable lesson from that. Sin will always do something to you that is not good for you. Wonderful lesson, doesn't do anything for you in the area of healing. Why? Yes, it is the Word. Yes, it is the Logos. It's not the Rhema. It's not what you need in your situation right now. It's not what fights the good fight of faith for you in that situation. So there's kind of this difference, and we kind of know about this difference. We just didn't know that it was in the Greek too. And you would turn more to scriptures like, by his stripes I'm healed. I will remove all sickness from the midst of you. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. These are the things. Yeah, they minister faith for healing to you. So that's kind of the rhema. And this is important. The rhema of God will always come from the logos of God, right? God will not just throw another book from heaven. This is his Bible. This is his word. And he will use this to bring the rhema to you. But this is my point today. My point is that your rhema is here. The thing that is necessary for your spiritual growth right now is in your local church. The thing that God wants to speak to your specific situation is coming through your local church. It's coming, if God calls you to be under a certain church leadership, under a shepherd, under a pastor, or part of a local church, that's where your rhema is. That's where the thing that you need in your situation is right now. It's not on TV. And it's not on, it's not in another church. And it's not on the internet. And you know what? And I keep saying these things. I'll tell you here's my podcast app. Just this morning, I just opened this up when I was down there. Here's my nice Andrew Womack podcast, Here, listen to it this morning. I listened to it in the bathroom and I listened to it on the way here, so it's absolutely no problem. I did not say you cannot listen to these things or you shouldn't listen to these things and God will not speak to you through these things. Absolutely not. My point is, there is something you get here that you won't get anywhere else. And it's like, we have this rule, at home, at least we try. It doesn't really work. For some reason, we never really... one of our rules is that when it comes to Coke or Fanta or Sprite, all these things, you don't get this at home, right? When we're somewhere, when we're eating out, when there is a wedding or, something like that, you can have some of those, but don't drink it at home. Yeah, that works well. But that is our... Somebody's happy. But, this is kind of the rule we're trying to enforce. And all of there are some things you can eat when you're eating out, and there's some nice stuff, that you have, and it tastes really good, and it's wonderful, and there is nutrition in there. I know we always make fun of McDonald's, but did you know that there is nutritional value in McDonald's? There's just too much fat and too much sugar and all this, but you do need a little amount of fat, and you do need some sugar, and if you eat a salad, it doesn't really matter whether you eat it at McDonald's or in another restaurant, it's a salad. There is still stuff in there your body needs, but then you come home and then, sometimes you have your food and you go like, oh, why? Because mom cooks the stuff that you really need. It's not always the stuff you want, but it's the stuff you need. Why did a man say amen? Why aren't all the... All right, so let me put it this way. I wrote this down because it hurts me so too much. Did you know that there are better teachers and better pastors out there than I am? Shh. Thank you, Martina. Did you know that there are pastors, when it comes to their skills and their methods and their whole, their charisma and their personality, there are better pastors out there. There are better teachers out there when it comes to skill set or presentation or, there are better ministries out there. There are better churches out there. There are better pastors out there when it comes to these things. It's just when, there are some pastors, I listen to them and I watch them and I just go like, oh, wow. I could really learn from that person. If I cared. No, just kidding. But, I just look at these people and I just go like, wow, that's good. You can really tell that person, wow, no condemnation. They're just these kind of people. And I know there are better ones. There always are. Here's the thing. If God calls you to be part of this church, and if God calls me to be pastor of this church, is there really a better pastor for you? No. See, you know what I mean? It's not about me. It's about the person that holds the office of a pastor of this local church at this moment. And it's whether or not God has called you to this church. And maybe you're visiting, and that's fine. And we enjoy your fellowship. And you know what? When you go back to your home church, then this is the same for your home church. It's not that I'm the most awesome person or this church is the most awesome church. It's just that if God calls you to be part of this church, and if God calls me to be the pastor of this church, is there really a better pastor for you? You know, that's kind of what I'm aiming for. It's not about me, and it's not about this church. It's not about Rhema. It's what you are called to do, where you are called to be at. And if this is here, then I just wanted to encourage you today. Your Rhema is here. Now that means two things. That means you enjoy the word, you enjoy the gifts that God has given to the body of Christ. There is not just the pastor God has given to the body of Christ. He's given apostles. He's given prophets. He's given evangelists. And the Logos, the Bible says the Logos is always alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Right? The Logos will do that. I'm not playing that down, but the Rhema, the thing God is speaking to you specifically right now, something you need right now that you don't even know you need, is here. Your Rhema is here. It's here in your local church. And as I said, and if you're listening to this podcast, or if you're sitting here right now and you're visiting, or you have your own local church, great. Then that goes for your church too. This is not about a local church or a personality. It's just about the way God set it up. So that's the one thing that we have to acknowledge, that here's the good part. But this also means that every time you come to church, you can make this your confession of faith. You can say, my Rhema is here. I am going now where my Rhema is, where the word is that will come to me and in my situation, whether I know that I need it or not. Have you ever gone to the doctor and they did a blood test and they said, oh, you know what, you have a certain insufficiency, you know, you have too little of this or too little of that, and you're like, I had no idea. You didn't even know. You didn't even feel it. Why? Because your body is awesome. Your body can work and function even with an insufficiency for a certain amount of time. And then the time comes where you really need to do something about it. And it's the same here. Sometimes you don't even know you need this, and you leave this. That's why I always smile when people are like, I hope you get something out of this sermon today. And I'm like, you know what? Even if I didn't get something out of the sermon today, I don't care. Maybe I didn't even know. Maybe I don't even know that I need this. I just receive it. You know, I just receive that my Rhema is here. This is my local church. When we have a guest speaker, you know, when whoever's speaking, and we're careful who we allow to speak here, because we know that the Rhema is here. This is not a platform to present yourself to the world or to the 100 people that are in here. No, we believe that the Rhema has to come from this pulpit. So I just wanted to encourage you, because it has these two sides. It's like you have to understand the Word of God is always powerful, and listen to all these good preachers, emphasis on good preachers and teachers that are out there. It's wonderful. God has given the body of Christ tremendous ministry gifts, right? Enjoy them. It's wonderful. Be blessed by them. Grow by them. It's wonderful. But there is something here you won't get anywhere else. But you know what? At the same time, that means that every time you come here, you can say, I will hear something today that I'll be able to use. Now, when the devil comes and try to steal, kill, and destroy, I have my sword of the Spirit. I have the Rhema. I know what it is. And there are so many, I tell you, if probably most of the testimonies I heard about my ministry here are these things, you prepared me. It's these things, there were so many things, I didn't even know how much I need this until I got into this situation. And I believe this is the way it's supposed to be. God wants to prepare us, right? He doesn't want us to be in a situation where we're like, oh my God, we have a word insufficiency, right? We don't know what to do, and then we just try to find, where was that again? By his What was that? By his what? Oh, okay. By his stripes, I'm healed. Good. That was in Hezekiah. Jacob, chapter 25. You know what I mean, right? So we don't want to have that. We want to be prepared. We want to know all the things we can know. And I just want to encourage you, every time you come here, whether the weather is good, the weather is bad, whether it's on a Sunday or at WordFest, say, Father, I know this is my local church and I will receive something today that I will need. I either need it right now or I'll need it down the road, but it will be good. It will be good for me. I will grow, and one day I will use it to shove it up the devil's. Let's just worship the Lord. See, we were believing God to stop me in the middle of the sentence. Remember? Good. So let's all stand and let's worship the Lord some more. The first thing you need to know, who he really is, to worship him for who he is that he is your Savior. The Bible says that very, very quickly it got so bad with mankind that mankind cannot be fixed. A lot of times people don't like what Christians preach because the message is you cannot fix yourself. You cannot become righteous in your own strength. That train has left the station. But Jesus came to do that for you. It took God stepping down into creation to take your place in punishment when it comes to the wrath of God, and he took it all on himself so that you can come to him again. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to the Father but by me. But by him we can. So if you're here today and that's you, you've never trusted Jesus as the Lord of your life, as the Savior of your life, you've never humbled yourself. It takes humility to just come to him and say, Lord, you know what? You're right. I can't do that. I can't stand before you righteous. That's all it takes. And to acknowledge that he did it for you. And the Bible says you're saved. So if that's you, then we want to encourage you that in a moment when we close the service to just come up here. We'll have a team up here that would love to pray with you. We'd like to show you in the Bible, you know, what that means for you. But you're not coming to an organization or signing your life away to us. You're giving your life to Jesus, into the hands of a good God, a good Savior. You will get to know the good Heavenly Father that just loves you so much. So that's an invitation for you, and if you're here, you are a Christian. You've never been filled with the Spirit. Well, here's another gift God has for you. And if you have never received that, just come forward. We would love to pray with you. And as always, if God hears prayer and he answers prayer, right? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means you can talk to him. That means he responds. That means he loves you and he wants to bless you. So if you have a prayer request, you know, just come forward as well. And, you know, as always, we'll have our altar care team workers here, and they will minister to you. Amen? Amen. Amen. God is good all the time. So I trust you received something today. And have a great week. Have a blessed week. And, you know, remember, if you see Carolyn, you know why. God bless you.